On this evening before we begin the great season of Lent, which of course is not the greatest of all the seasons. The Easter season and the Christmas season are greater. But we put an emphasis on it because it is such a difference to the way of life that we usually have as Catholics, that during the season of Lent we are supposed to do extra and numerous penances and prayers and devotions and masses and holy hours. Now, some people do only that which is required of them, and you still get the question, is Ash Wednesday a holy day of obligation? It isn't, and never has been. It is a holy day of love, as I call them, because if you really love Jesus, you will be here. And if you don't, that's your problem. But then remember, the gospel of today says, be ready, because you do not know when the Master will come, and he will exact the payment that he deserves, which means punishment. But today is a happy day. And of course, a lot of people celebrate this day as if it were a big deal, and they don't realize that it is a Catholic day. It's secular and yet religious. It's a holy day in the sense that it is the day before Lent. And so it's called Mardi Gras, Fat Tuesday. It is the last day on which you can eat whatever you want to, however you want to, and as much as you want to, and drink and so forth, as long as it's not to drunkenness or sickness of any kind. Now the saints that we celebrate today, especially the first saint of the Mass of today, lived their whole life as if it were Lent. And that is the thing. We need to live our whole life as if it were Lent, in prayer, in penance, in sacrifice. And, of course, and the thing that's really remarkable about this saint, as a collect of today's Mass attests, that he was a young saint who was surrounded by luxury and by worldly things, and yet he lived a very abstemious life. And of course, I speak of the great patron of Lithuania and Poland, Saint Casimir. He was the third of 13 children of King Casimir and Queen Mary of Austria, who had married the King of Poland. And as such, he was one of the heirs to the throne. And in fact, he eventually did succeed to the throne, especially in the area that we know today as Lithuania. In the meantime, he received a very good and Catholic education. And believe it or not, he was educated by Jesuits, and his spiritual director was a Jesuit. Those were the days when Jesuits were Jesuits. And the priest almost had to hold him back. He had the most beautiful, luxurious, comfortable bed, and he slept on the cold floor. He had all the food available to him that he could possibly want, and he lived all the days of his life, as I said, as if it were Lent. When he was still a young man, he was about 15, his father asked him to carry out a mission for him. There were problems in Hungary, and the nobles of Hungary asked King Casimir to send somebody because Hungary was all agog. And so he sent an army led by the young prince, St. Casimir. Now, he was very ready to do so, because as a Catholic, we're ready to do whatever we need to do for God and for a country, if that need be. Well, that is, unless it is something unjust. And so he got to the border of Hungary and Poland. He realized, and the Pope sent an emissary telling him not to do it, that it would be tremendously bad for the church, for the faith. And so the nobles came to the border and besought him not to invade Hungary, that the problems were being set aright. And so, in a sense, he was disobeying his father's orders. And that just shows you We are supposed to obey our parents, but not if they tell us to do something wrong. And that is something that some parents cannot gather. They think that they're God. They're not. They are servants of God, and they're supposed to be servants of God in regards to their children, who are also, and more importantly than theirs, servants of God. And so St. Casimir did not invade Hungary, and soon enough there was peace, and then went back to the home, and the father was furious. So he exiled him, and it's interesting, I always used to make fun to the Lithuanians in Rome, of which I knew most of them, that St. Casimir ended up in Lithuania because it was a place of punishment. It's just like me. I ended up in Pensacola and in St. Stephen because it was a place of punishment. And yet here we are, and we've done so many things with the help of the Blessed Mother, who is really the one who has done it all. But when you do God's will, everything works all right. So St. Casimir went to Vilnius, where at the young age of 24, some biographers say 25, but everyone else that I know of says 24, he died of tuberculosis, consumption. And when his body was exhumed 3 years later, it was incorrupt and exuding a wonderful perfume, a wonderful smell, not a smell of putrefaction like most corpses do. And of course, he was buried there in Vilnius, in what is today the cathedral, and he is there, even though the communists had it sequestered for several decades. Nevertheless, when the country was freed from communism around 1989, 1990, it was opened again as a cathedral of Lithuania, of Vilnius, and the body of St. Casimir was seen to be also still intact, incorrupt. And I'm not sure if he's there now, I doubt it, but one of my professors in the seminary, in the Academy of Noble Ecclesiastics, which I also attended in Rome, was the cardinal of Vilnius, one of the favorite cardinals of St. John Paul II. And so we pray today to St. Casimir to allow us to be holy, to be pure, to be always immersed in doing the will of God. And in the meantime, while we are praying, we pray to him for Lithuania and for Poland, which are being visited now by modernism and masonry, even though they held it back for a few years, now it's visiting there as well. May God have mercy on them and on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.